He can do that in a moment. Touch you. Habits gone. Sickness gone. Hallelujah. If we really are the church that God has called, then we should believe that those things happen today. Amen. Would you stand with me and like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time? We're grateful for our Children's Church teachers. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to John, the 5th chapter, and verse number 39. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now, he could only be talking about the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written yet. So he's saying, why don't you search the Old Testament, and you'll find that they testify of me, Jesus. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So he's saying to people, you know what? You think you're religious, you have searched the scripture, but what you don't understand is if you really search the scripture, you would know that it is me, and you won't come to me for life because you really don't know me. And then Acts chapter 8. How many will help me tonight? Acts chapter 8, verse number 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. What do you think happened? They spoke in other tongues. Amen. If nothing happened, Simon wouldn't want to buy it. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. See, he laid hands on him, nothing happened, and he said, boy, I want to buy that. Must have been some power that was endued, you see. Glory to God. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Everybody is looking for the perfect gift. And I'm telling you, folks, you can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with money. Hallelujah. There was this preacher on Wednesday night that talked about hidden treasures. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, you need to get the podcast or the CD or the DVD, because it really ministered. There were people crying all over the place. Amen. Glory to God. Would you pray with me that God would have his way tonight? Amen. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for an understanding of it. God, that there'd be a move of your spirit, Lord, that would, God, not only pass through our minds, but into our hearts. Allow it, God, to cause us to have a deeper relationship and understanding of our great God of heaven. Amen. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I understand that this year has been a big year for retailers. Stores are now open all of the time, extended hours, parking lots packed with people trying to buy a gift for somebody that they love. I guess what they're saying is at this time of the year, we just want to wrap it all up just to tell people how much we love them. And the more you spend, the more I guess you love, which is pretty crazy. Brother Granquist, the mother, she's up in ages right now, I think in her late 80s perhaps, but she's had several very successful businesses. She's had orange orchards and some things in California that produce quite a bit of money. And every year at this time, She would look for somebody within the congregation that was very poor, and she would hand them the keys to a brand new car. According to Brother Granquist, she has done this 7 to 15 times every year. And so she'd take the keys, you know, during the service and walk over to an individual and hand them the keys and say, "This is for you. No strings attached, nothing." I can't do that tonight. I know some of you were hoping, but I could clean out all the money in my account and you still could only go to McDonald's. Back on Friday, Black Friday, there was one gift that wasn't on sale. That's not on sale tonight. If it had been on sale, nobody could afford it. In fact, this gift was purchased on a Black Friday about 2,000 years ago. It is the gift of eternal life for those that believe, those that will come to Jesus Christ. It's always amazed me what people will do in order to get a good deal. Wisconsin is especially deal conscious. And it always amazed me what people won't do in order to get eternal life. They won't walk across the street. We beg them, "Could you come to church? Please come to church. Please, because God wants to do a miracle in your life and give you eternal life. Please come. We'll give you a Bible. We'll give you a ride. We'll give you anything." And, "Well, you know, I can't do it." Or to be able to purchase happiness at a discount. Oh, there are some churches that will sell you God at a discount. It's a lot cheaper today than it used to be. They started lining up at about the same time I was sitting down with a 20-pound turkey on that Thursday. Some camped out overnight in wind and cold because they wanted to be the first one to get the doorbusters in the stores. And when the doors opened, they pushed and shoved their way in to get the doorbusters, and appropriately, they did bust some doors. And the prize was a Nook, a Kindle, an iPad, a Xbox, a 50-inch piece of glass that brought joy and happiness into their living rooms. All at an incredible deal. Well, this Black Friday is gone, and it was your last chance in order to get a bargain. Oh, but then there is Cyber Monday that goes on and on and on. You get a special gift from cyberspace someplace, and it ends up in your mailbox. I got to church early this morning, and I was shocked to see that no one had camped out overnight to get the good seat. You know? You would think that there would be long lines to get in. We even opened early to accommodate those who just can't wait. I got to get there before 10 o'clock, and some 10 o'clock is too early. Or maybe they didn't hear about our doorbusters. Although God has been running ads for 2,000 years, lots of people have been talking about it. And it seems like people just aren't interested in spiritual things as much as they're interested in material things. We're living in a day where we put material things above spiritual things. Somebody's got to shake us up. Somebody's got to get to the place where, you know, these things, you know what, you're going to leave them here. You're working 3 and 4 jobs in order to get stuff that don't make you happy. You can't buy this.
Amen.
It's the White Sunday sale. Come in. And you can come in black and leave white. That is not a racial situation, folks. Glory to God. You get a brand new suit. It's a Jesus suit. It's tailored to fit. The new man, the old man, has passed away. The first 100 to the altar get the Holy Ghost, and no lines are waiting at the baptismal. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. And then did I mention there's nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruit of the Spirit that we're just going to, we're throwing it in, folks, as a deal. Oh, and did I mention the gift of eternal life where you will live forever and ever and ever? Pastor, keep the car. Oh, if my relative could be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. You see, that's the gift that keeps on giving. That's the gift of eternal life. Oh, they may or may not like it. There are gifts that will be given and people will smile and say, it's just what I wanted, and that's a big lie. But no one has ever said after being filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, I didn't need that. You know? Glory to God. You may want to try on a healing. You may want to try a miracle. Amen. You may want to speak in tongues. Amen. All the way home. Amen. Glory to God. I remember a lady I taught a Bible study 2 years ago came to be baptized, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She didn't even think it was going to happen, but after she got done, she couldn't stop speaking in tongues. You know, she was my next-door neighbor. I had to take her home, and I was worried, what am I going to tell her husband? She doesn't speak in English anymore. Glory to God. There are some who have such an experience, they can never deny it. So, Pastor, how long does the sale last? Well, that's the scary part. No one knows. It could end tonight. That's right. So we are here to help people find the best deal on the face of the earth. Jesus said in John 5 and 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. That's what Jesus said. And what he was saying is, I don't understand it. I've come in the flesh. I don't understand it. I'm offering you free salvation. I don't understand it. I'm willing to forgive and forget all of your sins. I'm willing to give you the miraculous, and you don't want it. Salvation is not the Bible. It is what leads us to salvation, which is Jesus, you see. We can know the word, but we must meet the author in order to be saved. And there are too many people who are just memorizing or reading the word of God, but they have never met the author. They haven't an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why they're not interested. They read about him. They get book reports every week about what he did 2,000 years ago. But you need to shake hands with your Savior. You need to feel his touch on you. Amen. God has created a void in each of us that cannot be filled with anything except him. And there are people desperate, like Simon, to buy something, to get some power, that those of us who have come to God have that power. Amen. So they try to fulfill that feeling of emptiness with things and houses and boats and cars and relationships and all manner of things. And each year they become more and more empty. And what they need is more and more of God. Not the latest and the greatest anything will fill that void. Black Friday eventually turns into January depression. Because you get the bills. Hallelujah. Oh, it's such a happy season until about the 20th of January when all of the bills start coming in. You're thinking, what did I do? But I've never had a regret because I spent too much time at the altar. I've never had any regrets because I gave too much to the church. I never had any regrets because I prayed too much for somebody that needed God in their life. Would you turn to Ecclesiastes 5? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 18, it says, behold, that which I have seen It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. You know, religion kind of, you know, puts a damper on our fun sometimes, like we shouldn't be able to enjoy life, enjoy family. That's not true. God wants us to enjoy our, he's given us our family. He's given you your home. He's given you opportunities and substance. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. God's saying there is satisfaction in doing something. You see, people are miserable when they're not accomplishing something or don't have a goal in life or you know. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Oh, to get up every day and have the joy of the Lord, not just Christmas time. Oh, to get up every day and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, it's not perfect, but this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm just going to have a good time, a joy breakdown with God. And then verse 1 of that 6th chapter, now we switch a little bit. It says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. So, you know what? You can have all of these things. You can have the greatest success. You can have more than what you can spend, more than what you can put in your garage, and then you have to build another garage to put more toys in. But yet, something missing. I'm just really not happy. Because, you know, you got to have both. You got to have God's blessing to really enjoy what little bit that we have here on the earth. But it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. A contentment living for God. Our only real satisfaction is knowing we're right with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they no longer had fellowship with God, which was really the best thing that they had going for them. Wonderful place, but you know what? You can have it all and not have God communing with you, and then what do you really have? You could describe it as a flower cut off from its stem. The life is still in the flower, and you can prolong it for a little while by putting it in water, but it is in the process of dying. It can no longer fulfill its purpose for being created, because we are descendants of Adam. We too are in that withering process because of sin that is in our lives. And the only power of our life comes from being connected to the source of life, which is God. And when we're cut off from the source of God, we're cut off from the community of God, from coming into the presence of God, immediately there's a process of withering spiritually to the point where now I don't want God any longer. Twice plucked up and twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And that's why when people aren't in church or talking to God, suddenly their appetite for God and spiritual things just start to diminish. They are cut off from the source of their life. When God decided to create all living things in Genesis, he always spoke to the source of life, not to the creation. In Genesis 1 and 20, when God created fish, he spake to the water to bring forth the fish. And if you take fish out of the water, they die. Because it is connected from its, or disconnected from its source. When God created the fowl, he spoke to the air, let the heavens bring forth every winged fowl of his kind. But you take a bird out of the air and put it underwater and it can't live. You can't live in a different environment that you weren't created in because it is disconnected with its source of life or the air. When God created the vegetation and the growing things, he spoke to the earth. He said, earth, you bring forth life. It's going to come out of the earth. You get the picture here. God describes at the very beginning of life, when God created man, he spoke to himself. Because God is the source of life. If we are disconnected from God, then we cannot live spiritually anymore. So it said in Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man in his own image. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man's source of life is God. Without God, we wither fast, and there is no real life outside of him. There's really no satisfaction. There's really no filling that void that God has created within us. It's not the mall. It's not even the church building. In fact, the church leaves this building after the service is over. It's all about a connection with that which is the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. And it can't just be three times a week that you connect with the source. You need to connect with God over and over again. So our adversary knows that if he can separate us from our source. You see, everything that he does wants to separate us from the source. He creates little divisions within the body, little schisms between people. And then they think, well, I've got this problem, so now I can't go to church anymore. I can't relate to God anymore. And the process is to separate us from the source of life. We'll just play church then, or we'll just get involved in religion, and then we will not be able to reproduce after our own kind. You see, if we're not connected to our God through worship and prayer and those things that enable us to become more spiritual, then all of a sudden we're non-productive. We don't look for opportunities to reproduce. Why would we talk to somebody about God if we don't have a close relationship with God in the first place? Amen. Why do we try to create life if we ourselves are withering? The principle is when you are separated from the source of life, you experience death. And that's why it tells us in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Jesus told us that life is knowing the only true God, amen, Jesus Christ, in John 17 and 3. Life is knowing the only true God. Amen. That's the only source that we have. It's not a religious experience. It's not a good message. It's not a good song service. It's connecting. The whole purpose for preaching, the whole purpose for song service is now connecting again to the source of life so we don't wither and die. The whole purpose for Calvary is that we could know God beyond just information. You know, there's just too much information in this world today, you know. You know, it's like surfing the internet. I did the whole thing last night and I'm done. You know? Of course not. I mean, there's so much information that it bogs us down. We have too much information. And we try to make things too complicated. We have too much personal information that we have to go here and we have to go there and we have to find out what this person is doing with that person. What about finding out what God wants for today? Somehow God, and I told this young lady as I baptized her this morning, I said, you are now a new bride and you need to stay close to your husband. His name is Jesus. Amen. You now have his name. And now you have to be committed to him and be faithful to him. You don't get married and then don't bother coming home. You don't get married and just have a long-distance relationship because it won't survive. Turn to Matthew 7, please. Familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that's judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Now, probably the most terrifying words in the scripture is, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. These are church people that Jesus is talking about. It's scary. Not only are they church people, but they're spirit-filled people to practice in the supernatural casting out devils. They're Pentecostal people that are in the Bible, people who have full truth. The word new, as I never knew you, in the Greek is yada. Now, there isn't anyone that God doesn't know by name. He knows every feeling, every difficulty, every little problem, every aspect of your life. He knows you, but yet they didn't know him in the sense that they were intimate with God. Please listen to me. You can't just have an informational relationship with God. You just can't have a church relationship with God. God's saying, you better know me intimately. You better come together with me every time you walk into that door. You better somehow touch me, somehow renew the relationship with me every time you have an opportunity. It is not my responsibility. It's not your husband's responsibility. It's not your wife's responsibility. It's not your parents' responsibility. You have to touch God for yourself, because if you don't, you'll start to wither up because you're cut off from the source of life. God can honor the faith. God can honor their faithfulness. And they saw miracles and the supernatural. But what Jesus was saying is there was no engaging in the relationship. There was no hugging. There was no kissing. There was no intimate talk in the middle of the night. The word knew is the same word as when Adam knew his wife and she bare children. There was no consummation of the marriage. There must be emotion in a relationship or it just won't last. Amen. So Adam and Eve are in the paradise garden, all pleasure, no work, no sickness, no shadow of death hanging over them as with each and every one of us. There isn't a person in here that hasn't thought about the end of their life. Because we, like Jesus, know that there will be a day where, if the Lord doesn't tarry, that our eyes will close for the last time. But the reason for all of this bliss and extreme happiness is they are still connected to their source of life in the garden. And when they were disconnected because of sin, and sin always disconnects people from God. You can't just deliberately sin and then walk in and have a connection with God. It just doesn't work, folks. It just doesn't. Once they ate of the tree, it wrecked God's plan for eternity with them, so God stepped in and killed an innocent animal for their sins to cover them, a picture of Calvary from the very beginning. God puts the skin of the innocent on them for a covering. You see, the type and shadow that we put on Christ in baptism, and now we're covered and we have access to the King. Now, Calvary pardons those that get under the blood, but Calvary didn't give us a new nature. We still struggle with the flesh. And the key is we have to have that source of life. Otherwise, this flesh will do us in. Because as we wither, the nature of man will take over, and all of a sudden, we lose our appetite for the things of God. The blood of Calvary now allows us to approach God without a fear of any kind of punishment. We now have a good conscience towards God, and he also takes away the guilt out of our life. Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, you looking for a gift? Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What a doorbuster. You know, the gift of eternal life still available until the rapture.
Amen.
Sale ends at the sound of the trump. Everyone is looking for that feel-good gift. But what feels better than knowing that I'm right with God? What could possibly be better than that? Now, we can come boldly to God because we have a good conscience towards him, and we are still a withering flower in the garden of God. And I talked a little bit about that this morning. We groan sometimes, but one day we'll be reconnected to the source, you see. Glory to God. Until then, I want to connect as many times as I possibly can in order to keep the source of life in me. You see, I know I come on strong about where are you, come on to church, but you understand, if we don't get enough of God in our life, you understand what could happen. There's an empty space that's right next to you that used to be occupied by somebody who decided that they were going to cut off their source of life, and now all of a sudden, where are they? Amen. Would you turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, please? First John 3, verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." You know, don't be surprised that people don't understand us. They can only understand us if they know who he is, you see. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I'm looking forward to the reconnect to the source of life. And when we reconnect to the source of life, well, then life will never end. I'm looking forward to that. If you'll go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, as our musicians come. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse number 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, you know, what it's saying is, you know, God came in the flesh to deliver us from death, deliver us from the devil, but you know what? We're subject to a lifetime of bondage, something that will, you know, limit our freedom, limit what we can do. The whole human race is one POW camp of Satan, and our God put on flesh in order to rescue us from that prisoner of war. Amen. His blood became the liquid, legal liquid, to redeem our soul, to release us from the curse put on us by Adam and Eve because of their sin. The curse was twofold: sin and sickness. He was beaten for our healing and crucified for our salvation. There was a double curse from sin, but there was a double cure that happened at Calvary. More people need to know about the Black Friday special from heaven. Paid for 2,000 years ago. If you're looking for the perfect gift, tell somebody. I'll teach you a Bible study. Why don't you come to church with me? I can give you something that is out of this world. God has a deal for you. He's paid the price. He's wrapped it up, and he's ready to give it to you. I'm glad that God doesn't just make salvation available once a year. Oh, this is the year that we baptize people. This is the month where we fill the tank with water. No. We will baptize you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The doors are open to the altar where you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost on a Sunday night. You know why? Because I was in church on a Sunday night. Glory to God. Isn't it great that it's not just the stores that stay open late? But we stay open late to accommodate as many people who want to get a gift. Amen. If it's last minute, you can have it tonight. Amen. If you need a refreshing, if you need to reconnect to the source, Amen. If you feel like you're a little withered, my God, he's ready Amen. To give you life. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. There's a lot of responsibility that I have as a pastor, but there isn't anything that's more exciting than seeing someone filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name. And you know, if that doesn't happen in a body of believers, the whole body starts to wither up. So, you know, we just need to have more babies in this church. Amen. Glory to God. I know there's some ladies that are working on it, but I'm talking about the other babies, you know, glory to God. They just bring excitement. And you know what's amazing is that somebody comes in and they're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and they have this whole group of people around them that they're excited about, and they talk to them. You know, we've talked to every one of our relatives, every one of our friends, every one of our barbers, every one of our grocery keepers, you know. But they have a whole new source of people that they can connect to. And as they connect, we connect with God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come, please?